Hello and welcome to the BBC Inside Business podcast. Hello and welcome to Inside Business with Wendy Austin. With cranes proliferating on the skyline, we're talking about commercial property and city investment. The business headlines first, interest rates up and Bank of England Governor Mark Carney hints of more to come. New orders for the Bombardier C-Series jet, a European airline orders 31 planes with options for a further 30. Bombardier, they posted a loss for the third quarter of the year. And Craigavon-based Almac buys a second factory in the Republic, taking over BioClin Laboratories in Athlone. And it's commercial property and city investment that we're talking about on Inside Business today. So what sort of commercial development do we need? What's currently being built or refurbished? Is the pressing need in Belfast and other areas for Grade A office space, residential, hotels, retail, or all of the above? What do investors look for in a city before they invest in it? Well, we talk about all of that in a moment. But first, just to pick up on that Bombardier headline, our business correspondent Julian O'Neill is with us. Julian, how significant are those orders?
Well, potentially very significant, Wendy. Now, whoever this is, and we don't know, they haven't been made public, it would be the third biggest customer for the C-Series to date. Only Delta and Air Canada have ordered more. It's clearly a boost for an order book which has seen very little action over the past year or 18 months. Another positive is, of course, that this is a customer outside the United States, so they would not be subject to those huge tariffs which currently pose a risk to that Delta deal for 75 jets. The Airbus deal with Bombardier for the C-Series has taken the pressure off. And with future sales being talked about in the thousands, not the hundreds, I suppose both companies will hope this is the start of very good news and an end to all the news that we've been reporting about cutbacks and job losses.
Good to hear. Well, since you're here, returning to what we're discussing today, what's the overall picture on development at the moment?
You only have to look at the skyline of Belfast to see that things are on the up. Lots of cranes, maybe around two dozen or so. Now, Dublin has about treble that, Wendy, but development activity in Belfast is seen as being at about its highest point in a decade or so. We've talked many times before about the sectors doing the building. The Ulster University campus, the relocation of it to Belfast, has created also a boom in student accommodation. Several new hotel projects, and three or four of them are very close to completion, delivering about 1,000 rooms. And also, not least, Grade A offices. A couple of big projects coming out of the ground, like City Keys 2 at the harbour and the new headquarters for HMRC.
Is it just Belfast?
Well, Belfast is unquestionably, Wendy, the centre of most activity, but it's not like there aren't signs of life in places like Londonderry or Newry. A lot of this building would be housing, but that's not the complete picture. In Derry, for example, the Duddy Group is doing a new hotel, and a Grade A office project has been announced for the old Ebrington Barracks site in Newry. There's been activity in retail with the likes of the £20 million expansion of the Keys. Interestingly, not so much by way of new large-scale retail development in Belfast, though the replacement scheme for the Royal Exchange project would seek to change that in coming years.
And I have no doubt we'll be talking about that in future. But what are the plans or expectations then?
If you look at what Belfast City Council wants to happen, it talks about the potential for £1 billion worth of investment by 2021 and the addition of 1.5 million square feet of Grade A office space. In terms of the financial objective, Wendy, Belfast is only about a fifth of the way there. That target was set a couple of years ago. Since then, we've had the Brexit vote, and the prospect of lower corporation tax in Northern Ireland has disappeared over the horizon, along with the absence of devolution. So the next few years will be or will pose challenges. I did notice recently the Department of International Trade has weighed in to insist Invest NI drum up interest in seven major projects, all seeking capital. I suppose chief among them would be that big site at the old Sirocco Works.
Julian, thanks very much indeed. So let's take a view from the top of the crane, so to speak. Mark Jemison's senior associate with Pinsent Masons. He's been writing about all of this. Brian Lavery is managing director here of commercial property company CBRE. Laura McCarthy's asset manager at Kilalta Estates, and Martin Daly's finance director, Mac Group. They've fitted out everything from Three to Facebook to Pfizer. So business is booming then, Martin, is it?
It certainly is, Wendy. Since we've last spoke back in May 2016, we've scaled the business significantly. We've diversified our and expanded our service offering to now include more heavy refurbishment and new build, similar to what the project we're doing in Riverhouse. And we've strengthened our senior management team, particularly in London and our new office in Birmingham. So we're well positioned for 2018 and beyond.
And you're now Mack Group rather than Mack Interior. So is that the world is your oyster next?
Absolutely. What we found was, and I was just saying to one of your producers earlier, we were coming in and doing Cat B fit outs for our tenants, and we had landlords coming to us and say, well, could you not do the Cat A and refurbishment work before we get the tenant in? And we thought, We can lend our skills to that market, and it's certainly proven to be a beneficial move for us.
It's an interesting time, Brian, when you see all of the cranes in Belfast. Good to have that point of view again after a time when really there was nothing very much happening at all. But what about those challenges that Julian mentioned there? You know, that there is a great ambition, but then events happen like the Brexit vote and corporation tax, and it hasn't necessarily disappeared completely, but it's certainly not right in front of us anymore.
No, and what has happened is that we have seen good growth and good interest in Belfast and the larger region over the last 5 or 6 years, but we've certainly had headwinds this year with the likes of Brexit and the executive not sitting. That creates a lack of confidence in the market, and it doesn't do any good whatsoever.
Laura, what about the pressing need for commercial development in Belfast and other areas? I mean, is it grade A office space? Is it residential or hotels or retail or a mix of all of the above?
I would actually say, Wendy, it's a mix of all of the above. Certainly there are a number of hotel developments in the pipeline, which is great to see that. But in terms of the grade A office development, that is something that I really think that we should really be focusing on, because not only, I suppose, will that, it'll obviously generate employment, but it will also it'll provide a need for further residential development within the city centre, because what we see from a lot of these FDI, foreign investment requirements, they are wanting to understand, number one, I suppose, what talent and workforce is available. And that is something that is a major plus for Northern Ireland. But really, where are their employees going to live and socialise? And that is actually top of their requirement list. So I would say, probably from a very selfish point of view, grade A is right up there in terms of getting a number of those office developments out of the ground from a developer perspective.
It's interesting what Laura's saying there, Mark, isn't it? You know, that city centre residential thing. It's something that we've all been talking about and hearing about for years, but it really kind of has never happened. It's starting now, but there must be enormous opportunities there.
Oh, there is for sure, Wendy. But one thing I think we probably should caveat, that any housing strategy for a city the size of Belfast has to be led by our local institutions. And unfortunately, we have that gulf at the minute. So we'd all like to see redevelopment of the city centre in terms of residential, but it has to be adhered to a clear policy so we know where we're going and we're just not doing it on an ad hoc basis. The couple of the other things you've mentioned there in terms of the sort of needs for commercial development, I don't think retail has the same pressing need. You know, the high street's still trying to get to terms of what it actually is now. You know, consumer habits have changed in light of technology. So I think the focus on grade A office space and hotels, which we're seeing at the minute, is the right focus.
It's interesting that these companies that are looking at Northern Ireland and presumably at other places as well, Brian. I mean, if they look at Belfast or one of the other cities in Northern Ireland and compare it with the likes of Glasgow or Leeds, Manchester, Cardiff and so on, I mean, what would make them come here? Is it just the people?
We're very lucky in the CBRE that we deal with a lot of corporates coming in, Wendy. And yes, they have a broad matrix of what they look at. They look at the people, they look at the talent. There was a lot of interest on the tax element, which unfortunately seems to get delayed and delayed. So that's one further part of that matrix. They look at the affordability of housing for their workforce. But it's mainly the talent that they see. And once they establish here, we find that they then grow into larger space. That's usually the story.
And if they are looking at the city centre or at any city centre, Martin, I mean, it doesn't have to be a new build, I'm guessing. I mean, the likes of your group can you work magic with some of the old buildings?
Absolutely, Wendy. I've done several times in the past, and that's what we're doing at the moment in Riverhouse. Just to go back to Laura's earlier point, there is a significant need for Grade A office space. I think, and Brian will probably confirm this, there's a requirement for something like 500,000 square feet at the moment. An annual take-up is usually around 400,000, which puts more emphasis on the refurbishment projects that we mentioned, River House, and there's a number of other projects that we're looking at the moment that will, I suppose, alleviate the short-term supply deficit in the market at the moment. There is a significant need for those refurbishment projects to ensure that the various FDI companies that are looking at Belfast at the moment have somewhere to base their staff.
What is Grade A office space? We're in a pretty old building here, which in a very nice
Not
new
for
studio,
long.
I must say. But a very nice new studio. But in the time that I've been here, these buildings have gone through a number of iterations. But what is Grade A office space? I'm not sure who's the person to answer. Brian has his hand up. But the rest of you can
jump in there. I will.
There's been a lot of debate on the subject of what actually is Grade A and is it purely new build. We actually don't believe it is. We believe it's space that's fit for purpose. It's space that attracts staff and retains staff. So it's got to have the proper services. It's got to have your proper Wi-Fi. And if it doesn't have that, then raised flooring, etc. It's got to make your staff comfortable. So it's got to have cooling and heating at the right levels, etc. So it's modern space. It's got to have breakout areas. It's got to have staff canteens. It's got to have further services such as bike docks and people who want to run in or cycling and showers, etc. It's a conglomeration of all of that creates space that people want to work in. That's what we believe Grade A space is.
And then there's Grade A plus.
Yes, there is. It's an interesting question, Wendy, because as developers, we've had to up our game. There is no doubt about that in terms of our specification and what we are proposing with our new buildings. I mean, we have planning through on Donegal Square South, and we're hoping to get on site in the not too distant future on that. And with the discussions that we're having with occupiers, it's amazing now what the requirements are. And Brian will obviously know all about this, but they are very focused on their workforce and how happy they are. They want that loyalty and they want to retain their staff. And we have seen requirements, and you'll not believe me when I say this, not only from gyms, but from concierge services. No longer is there to be a security guard on the door. It is a concierge that, can collect your dry cleaning. I've even been asked about a blow dry bar, which from a personal point of view, I think would be fantastic. So it's just amazing now what we're being asked for. And I think it's a great thing because it challenges us as developers to create something that, as Brian says, is fit for purpose now for the new millennials.
And there's no wonder Martin's sitting with a smile on his face.
Absolutely. Can you get me that, Martin?
It's been driven and pioneered by the US tech companies, particularly out of Silicon Valley. And what we have found in the numerous projects that Mac have done for these companies in Dublin is that by the time you finish the project, it's like a boutique hotel. And what I concur with what Laura is saying. There's also, I suppose, that shift towards a flexible workspace in that we're, to term a phrase, the gig economy. There's more freelancers. There's people that want to collaborate, as Brian says. They want to be open breakout areas. And it's certainly it's food for thought. And everybody has to raise their game to make sure that these clients want it. It's not just the tech companies that are looking for it. Financial services, law, etc. They're all looking for these fancy snazzy fit out, as you call them before, Wendy.
You're right, I did. So is that the kind of thing that even law firms are looking for? When one still does, just in the back of one's mind, have an image of somebody sitting in a room with a lot of dusty filing cabinets and chained to the desk, virtually.
You haven't been a lawyer's office in a long time, Wendy.
I have to say, at Pinsent Masons, we're very fortunate. We occupy the third and fourth floor of the Soloist building in front of the Waterfront Hall, which was obviously constructed 2-3 years ago. So prime example of Grade A office space. We've just been joined by KPMG, and it's been said here, but the main emphasis now is on positive employee experience. And so
more the good wife than Rumpole of the Bailey, really.
Exactly. And that's obviously good for employees, good for employers, and I think that's obviously going to be the trend going forward.
What about outside Belfast, though? It's something that's really, I suppose, a great deal of frustration is caused to people in other towns and cities by the fact that it is Belfast where this is mostly happening. I mean, do you see scope in other parts of Northern Ireland, Laura?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. There is, Wendy, certainly in the larger towns like Derry. But I think the focus will always be on Belfast City Centre. And I think what we really need to concentrate on is creating a better infrastructure so that we can attract, I suppose, people easily enough to come from all the cities outside of all the towns outside of Belfast to come and work in Belfast and make that much easier for them. That would be my view on it.
I mean, it's interesting. We were all talking about the difference in the traffic over the last week because of half term, and at least you can get up at a sensible time and get into your office. Belfast's kind of gridlocked half of the time at the moment, Brian, isn't it? Is there maybe a capacity to move out a bit the way that Dublin has done, where it's taken in a lot of sort of satellite towns?
I don't think that's the way forward. I think it's getting our infrastructure sorted, which helps. I think the Belfast is always going to be the driver for the region. So I think we need to get the government back in and spending the money that they've got from Westminster to improve that infrastructure and to do that quickly.
What about those points? I mean, Mark, you commute from Ballycastle. I'm sure you would love to be able to work somewhere that was a bit closer, would you?
Yeah, well, look, I agree with Brian. There's definitely a need to improve our infrastructure. Most people that do that journey will be familiar of getting stuck at Sandy Nose around 7:30 every morning. And there's just too much traffic on the roads. Obviously, public transport is slowly improving. And I think in the future, hopefully, it will be the mainstream way of travelling, not in cars. But until that happens, obviously, there will be difficulties. But there needs to be sizeable investment. Like Northern Ireland, one of probably few nations in the West which doesn't have toll roads, for instance. And has politicians actually considered, that as a way of financing proper roads?
Good point, yeah. What about, speaking of financing, the state of the commercial market here, Brian? Are the lending streams in place to fuel the ambition that the commercial sector perhaps has?
There's definitely lending streams in place where there's income in place. The problem we've had over the last 4 or 5 years is getting lending for development and speculative development, and that has stopped a lot of speculative development happening. That is maybe going to be coming forward. I think some of the banks are now looking more closely at whether they can go into speculative development. There are other funds. There are other funds available through the NIIF fund, which is coming available, and the City Council fund. So I believe there are streams coming online, but it's been slow coming.
Yeah, and it tends to be non-local investors as well, and you probably know this better, Laura, than most.
Yes.
And they see Belfast as an attractive proposition when they compare it to other regional cities in the UK.
I've heard it said, though, that there is still something of a barrier between the other island and this one, as far as some investors are concerned, that they're slightly put off perhaps by the different legal systems, around land law and all of that kind of stuff. Would that be your experience, maybe?
Yeah,
Mark?
Well, look, if you look at the things investors look for in a city, first of all, they're looking at growth rate of business, jobs, resilience of the economy, quality of infrastructure, as we've mentioned, the skills of the workforce and the sector makeup. But the other thing, particularly for foreign investors, they want to do this as practically as possible. So they're going to be looking at the regulatory and the legal regime, planning systems, taxation. But to be fair, I think we are fairly well advanced in that respect.
Laura, what about the financing streams?
Yeah, I'm just picking up on Brian's comments. I would agree it is tricky at times. There's no doubt about that, to get access to finance. And yes, it is not our local banks that are certainly working with ourselves, and I know with other developers. But what I would say is a bit of that chicken and egg scenario when it comes to speculative development. And I do believe in the saying, build and they will come, but trying to convince your money man, I suppose, that is the case is difficult. We are working very closely with Belfast City Council, as are a number of developers in Belfast, and they are very supportive and they understand, I suppose, the frustrations that developers are facing in that respect. And they are looking at initiatives to help us. And that is one thing I would like to encourage them in terms of maybe providing some sort of rates relief on completion of the project, or potentially look at some rental guarantees from them while we try and let the space. That would be extremely beneficial, and I think that would help be a catalyst, I suppose, of some sort to get a lot of buildings out of the ground.
Hold that word rates in your heads for just a moment, because I'm going to come to Mark about that. It's a bit of a bee in his bonnet, I think. I just wanted to remind you, you're listening to Inside Business with me, Wendy Austin. We're talking about the state of the commercial property sector and city investment. And my guests in the studio today are Laura McCarthy, who's asset manager with Kililta Estates, Martin Daly from Mac Group, Mark Jemison from Pinsent Masons, and Brian Lavery, who's managing director here of CBRE. Mark, what about rates? Now, you've been writing about this recently, about the whole business of the back in business scheme, for instance, which is in a somewhat bizarre situation at the moment. Tell us about that.
Look, well, for anybody that isn't familiar, the back in business scheme, like, it afforded businesses who moved into premises which had previously been used for retail and had been unoccupied for a period of 12 or more months, a 50% rates relief. Now, hugely popular initiative. It's assisted about 500 businesses since its inception in 2012, and it has achieved largely its key aim of regenerating the high street. Now, since the suspension of Stormont, the scheme is in complete limbo. So people are still actually, they have the facility to apply for the relief. It's going into Land and Property Services, but there's no guarantee that the relief will actually be granted because it's effectively in a hiatus. Now, this is causing great uncertainty, particularly for the smaller and medium-sized businesses. You know, they don't know if they can avail of the relief or not. And in some cases, it can actually threaten their liability.
So that's a big difficulty for them. But added to that, we were due for a radical change in business rates, weren't we?
Yeah.
The former finance minister talked about that. What happened with all of that?
Well, Martin O'Muller, this time last year, actually announced a package of reforms, which he described as the largest package of reforms for a generation. And again, it's went the way of a number of other initiatives. It's essentially on hold at the minute. And again, businesses are left with the uncertainty of what is actually going to come out of those reforms and the timescale for their implementation. And there was a number, to give you an example, an effort to sort of incentivise the occupation of vacant properties. One of the proposals was to cut the rates relief available. So now businesses who are trying to plan for the next financial year and further on will not know if that is actually going to be implemented or not.
It's all a bit of a mess, Brian,
yes,
isn't it?
Similarly, developers would be not wishing to see rates on vacant premises when they're struggling to find tenants. So it's a complete stop to development.
How's it affecting your end of the business then, Laura?
Well, we're quite fortunate in that we do have a number of mitigation measures in place. We do work very closely with our retailers, particularly on the shopping centre side of our portfolio. We would work with a lot of our retailers and our existing retailers and offer them additional space at no cost for them to use. And that has actually been very successful for us, because they feel that as a landlord we're giving them something back, and it's encouraging them and helping us use space that is, would otherwise be redundant. And also it does no doubt impact on our rates outlay in terms of the vacancies.
Now, are there opportunities in all of this, in these vacant properties and so on, for the likes of you, Martin?
There would be, Wendy, but a lot of our landlords, tenants, clients, etc., they need to see an end product and an end game for them. And I think the flexible co-working space that we talked about earlier in some of these vacant properties, if there's some sort of government initiative, if they ever get their act together, and where they could encourage some like start-up rates relief for various companies in terms of these unoccupied spaces. And I think any of those initiatives that encourage smaller businesses to flourish, and at the end of the day, this economy is driven by the smaller businesses, and those smaller businesses soon become bigger businesses. Any initiatives that can be implemented are certainly to be welcomed.
What of those smaller businesses? I mean, I'm guessing that while some of them are maybe looking for the kind of grade A space, there must be a market for something else as well, is there? And is that a market that you're into?
There is. A lot of the companies that we would have worked for in the past, they do start off small. They start, like, we tend to say to people who have a platinum, gold, silver and bronze service, and what you might find is that somebody comes in at a bronze or silver level, and within 2 to 3 years, due to how they've grown the business, then they're coming back to you and say, well, look, we need other space. They go to somebody like Brian's company, they'll find the space for them, and then we can collaborate with them to deliver the vision that they want to. Mm.
And what about the international companies that you mentioned? Both you and Laura, Brian, have been talking about FDI companies. In fact, you all have, looking at Northern Ireland. What's the degree that you see of international interest here? I mean, is the Trump protectionist drive a bit of a problem? Has Brexit thrown any kind of a spanner into the works?
We haven't seen those as a complete halt to international firms looking here. As I said earlier, it's more about the matrix of what Northern Ireland can offer and where it's competing against the likes of Manchester, Leeds, etc. So we haven't seen them. I think the government not being in place is probably more of an uncertainty than Brexit or the Trump protectionism at the moment.
You're all nodding at that point. Martin, you were kind of agreeing with Brian when he started there.
Yeah, absolutely. Overseas investors, they want to see stability and a plan for government. A lot of the time they're looking for the opportunity for rental and capital growth. And I think I come across a statistic recently where Belfast, Brian's the third fastest
it's growing the third city fastest growing and in that's terms, in of, terms rental of rental growth. Growth, yeah.
So that's certainly attractive. We talked earlier about the skilled workforce. I think it's one of the youngest populations in Europe. It's particularly, I think it's primary school maths is one of the highest qualifications in Europe. So when the tech and financial services companies are looking at that, it's certainly not just the low cost base they're looking for, but a very skilled workforce. So all of those items, as Brian alluded to earlier, are very attractive for overseas investors. But a stable government with a clearly defined plan is key to all of that.
I would agree with Martin. There is no doubt about it. We need a stable government. And Belfast and Northern Ireland has so much to offer. And we're unique in that we do have, I'm just repeating what you say, Martin, but we have that fantastic skill set. And we're also about 20 to 30% cheaper than our competitors in the UK. But unfortunately, it is the lack of government and stability that is putting off these types of investors. And we have to work hard on getting that back up and running.
Yeah, look, I agree with all those points. We probably have the most cost-effective base in all of the UK and Ireland. We've got world-class digital infrastructure, certainly in the city anyway. Maybe the rest of the region slightly lags behind there.
Good if that picked up, wouldn't it?
Oh, without a doubt. And the cherry on the top would be if we could get the corporation tax reduction. But again, that's dependent on the restoration of Stormont.
What about the Brexit point? Because anecdotally, one hears that there might be a bit of a bonus now in some ways for Northern Ireland, in that companies in the Republic who are looking to continue trading with the UK are looking perhaps to move part of their operations up here or to have some kind of an office up here. Or whatever is that? Am I right in what I'm hearing?
Yes, I think when it was first announced, there was a lot of fear that a lot of UK companies would go into Europe. But in terms of being selfishly speaking about Northern Ireland, it does give us a uniqueness of where we're going to be placed. Some people I've heard referring in conversations that we could become sort of the Hong Kong of the Far East. That you know, that it could be a driver, that this differential of sharing a border, not sharing a border, having different regulations, etc., can have a fillip for the economy as well as a drag. Mm-hmm.
So we've only a couple of minutes left here. Where do you see things going in the next few years, Laura? I mean, Belfast City Council has an ambition for £1 billion on office space. Is that now a bit too ambitious?
No, I don't think it is, Wendy. I am just going back to the earlier points we've made. You know, Belfast is only one way to go, and that is up. We have everything here to build on. We have certainly developers and public sector as well as private sector who want to work in partnership together to get to where we really need to be. And I think if we can just sort out our government issues, I think we'll be well on the road.
What about you, Martin? How do you see things going onwards and upwards?
I would agree with Laura. And I think one other area to be looked at is an expedited planning process. I think in Dublin, what they've done in the last couple of years is identify strategic designated zones where they are subject to slightly different planning laws. And if we got something similar in Belfast, for example, Royal Exchange, City Quay, Titanic Quarter, if those type of areas, which are, I suppose, ripe for regeneration, if they were subject to expedited planning laws, it would certainly help just not the locals, but certainly the overseas investors.
Brian?
Yes, I agree. Something like enterprise zones being reintroduced would certainly help. I think all the drivers, as Laura's saying, are there and we're ready. It's all in terms of economics that people come here to invest, and that has happened in the hotel market. We've seen a large number of the cranes going around the city at the moment are hotels. So those investors see they can get a return.
Well, we're out of time, I'm afraid. That's it for Inside Business this week. My thanks to Laura McCarthy, to Martin Daly, Mark Jemison, Brian Lavery and our own Julian O'Neill. It was produced by Niall Blaney. I'm Wendy Austin. Stay in touch on Twitter at Wendy Talks Biz with two Zs. That's Inside Business. Sundays at 1:30, Mondays at 6:30 and there's a podcast whenever it suits you. So don't miss it. That was the Inside Business podcast. I'm Wendy Austin. Stay in touch with the programme. You can email us at insidebusiness@bbc.co.uk or get in touch on Twitter. Follow us at Wendy Talks Biz. Remember to join us again next week, 1:30 on Sunday, 6:30 p.m. on Monday.